This evening's share is being sponsored by Hetty and Jay Richmond in memory of Hetty's father, Andor Klein, Avram ben Moshe. May the learning tonight have an aliyah for his neshama. Rabbi Sachs will not be here next coming Monday evening, so we're going to have two shurim, one Tuesday evening and one Wednesday evening. Rather than Monday, Wednesday, it'll be Tuesday and Wednesday. The Chor of Gazar of Sons.
The Mishnah in Shabbos from Daf Chayin Gimel presents the Lametes Malachos, and in five of the Malachos, the Mishnah mentions not only the Malacha, but also the Shir of the Malacha itself. When it comes to Malach of Kosei, for example, writing, the Mishnah tells us, Yechayiv on Shabbos, if you write Shtei Osios, if you write two letters. When it comes to the case of Oreg, Tofer, there it's Shtei Tfiros. When it's obligated, if a person makes two stitches. And Tosus immediately raises the following question, and Tosus leaves this unanswered, that Sarach Talmud, that why is it that in the vast majority of cases, in 34 malachos, no shir is mentioned, and yet, when it comes to five of the cases, you do find a shir in the Mishnah. Apparently the Mishnah is telling us that perhaps in those cases there is something somewhat different about the role of the shir in those cases than when it comes to the malachos generally. And perhaps that can be understood in the following sense. When it comes to the sugya of Borer, the sugya in Shabbos and Daf Ayin Dalid, the Gemara quotes a brisa that tells us that Borer, selecting, sorting on Shabbos and Yontif, sometimes is usher and sometimes it is mutter. Very unclear from the brisa, when is Borer allowed, when is it considered to be forbidden. And one possibility the Gemara raises, that it rejects the halachas, it depends on the quantity. If a person is borer a kashir, the shir is considered to be a kagrogres on Shabbos, then one is chayiv. If you do so with a smaller amount, that is mutter. The Gemara immediately objects. Is that really true, that one is allowed to engage in malach on Shabbos if it is pachos mikashir? The Gemara says, v'chi mutter lafos pachos mikashir? Is a person allowed to bake as long as the bread is less than a shear? Certainly not. That clearly is considered to be usher. It's clear from the Gemara that engaging in a malacha on Shabbos, even if the quantity is somewhat small, is usher, but somewhat unclear whether that is forbidden in HaTorah or whether it is forbidden only midrabanan. Rashi takes a stand. Rashi writes in that sugya, Shabbos Ayindal Amar Aleph, that afia, cooking, pachos mikashir, is forbidden min HaTorah. And Rashi cites the Gemara in Yuman, Daf Ayin Dalet Amar Aleph, right, the very same Daf, and Daf Ayin Dalet, where the Gemara presents the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan tells us that Chatzi Shir is Osem in HaTorah. When the Torah tells us you cannot eat Nevela, you cannot eat Chayin, in order to receive an Onesh, then you have to consume a Kazayis. Am I allowed to eat the smallest amount? Rabbi Yochanan says, certainly not. That is the principle of Chatzi Shir, Osem in HaTorah. Rashi assumes the following chiddush, that Chatzi Shir is not limited to that context of eating on Yom Kippur or eating Chalev or Nevela, but Chatzi Shir applies even to Isurei Shabbos as well. You know, one could disagree. If you look in the Chacham Tzvi, in the Tshuvas and Siman Pei Vav, Chacham Tzvi writes that there are two reasons that perhaps one could distinguish between Isurei Achila as opposed to other Isurim. Reason number one is as follows. When the Gemara questions what is the source of this Rav Chatzi Shir, the Gemara in Yom HaDafayindal quotes the Pasuk of Kol Chelev, which Rabbi Yochanan interprets to mean any amount of Chelev. The Pasuk is only discussing Chelev, Machalos Asuros, and maybe it doesn't apply to Isurim generally. And even furthermore, I can understand why it applies to Achila in the following sense. If I were to ask you, describe the act of Achila, you'll answer, Achila is a process. You eat a little bit at a time, and it culminates in a full shir. Whether you're dealing with the mitzvah of eating matzah or an isra of eating nevela, eating does not mean something that is done simultaneously, but rather it's done incrementally. So therefore, how do I eat matzah? A bite and a bite and a bite. It culminates in a full shir, and therefore I am chayiv. In a word, achila by definition is a tziruf of pachos mikashir. And therefore, maybe one could argue that Chatzi Shir is relevant when it comes to Yisuri Achiva. When it comes, however, to something such as Shabbos, where the norm is that the melacha is done b'kishir. It is not a process, not a series. In such a case, maybe one could argue that chatishir is not forbidden min haTorah. But Rashi is clear. Chatishir is an isur daraisa, and therefore when the Gemara says, are you allowed to bake pachos mikashir, that is forbidden min haTorah. This is Rashi Shita. If you look at Hagos HaShri, in Perek Zayin of Shabbos, in Simin Yud Aleph, on the Rosh, Hagos HaShri also writes that if a person carries pachos mikashir, a person, for example, is carrying food on Shabbos. The shear of food is a kagrogres. Hagos HaShri writes that carrying pachos mikashir, less than a kagrogres, of ochel on Shabbos is forbidden min haTorah because chatzishir is also daraisa. So what Rashi writes regarding afiyah baking, Hagos HaShri writes when it comes to carrying as well. I'll raise the following question. It's interesting. Hagos HaShri, there in Shabbos, in Perek Zayin, Siman Yud Aleph is commenting on a Mishnah. The Mishnah is found in Shabbos and Daf Ayin Vav Amud Aleph. The Mishnah questions, what is the shear of carrying on Shabbos? And you know what the Mishnah answers? It really depends. There are many different shiurim when it comes to hosa. Somewhat unusual. We're used to a typical standard shear for a malacha. When it comes to hosa, it's not really the case. It depends on the object that you're carrying. So the Mishnah tells us the following. If I'm carrying the type of food that a camel will eat, so the shear of ochel is malo pi hagamal, the mouth of the camel will consume. If I'm carrying straw, then it's considered to be malo pi hapara. If I'm carrying something that a goat would eat, then it's malo pi hagdi. If it's something that is fit for human consumption, then the shear is considered to be a kagrogres. The Mishnah lists just six examples of foods where the shear is different for each and every one. I would have expected the Hagos HaShri simply to write as follows. That's only true when it comes to skila or kares or chatas, but carrying even the smallest amount is forbidden min haTorah. Hagos HaShri writes the following. When it comes to kigrogres, if you carry less than a kigrogres, that is forbidden min haTorah. Chati shir asa min haTorah. So I'll ask you the following question. The Mishnah lists many cases of hotzah. Kigrogres is not the first case in the Mishnah. It's not the last case in the Mishnah. Why does Hagos HaShri write his chiddush in such a limited, a specific manner? You should realize that if you carry ochel, pachos mikigrogres, in such a case you're chayiv. And what about every other shear that's mentioned in the Mishnah as well? We'll have to get back to that question. But even though it's true, it's clear from the Hagos HaShri that chati shear is forbidden when it comes back up carrying, it is somewhat puzzling that he only mentions one of the six examples that you find in the Mishnah. We'll have to see why, in fact, that's true. But the Shir of Rashi, the Shir of Hagos HaShri, is Chatzi Shir, is forbidden min haTorah. The Rambam disagrees. The Rambam is clear that Chatzi Shir, when the Gemara says, look, you're not allowed to cook, even the smallest amount on Shabbos, that is only an Isser Derabanan. Chatzi Shir, when it comes to Nevela, Chela, that's forbidden min haTorah. On Shabbos, that's only an Isser Derabanan. But Rashi maintains forbidden min haTorah. The difficulty with Rashi Shita is the following. If you look in the Tosefta, Tosefta is not found in Shabbos, it's found in Mesechus Beitza. In Perek Dalet, Halacha Beis, the Tosefta gives us a couple of examples. A person, for example, who is Oreg Chut Echad, a person who makes a single stitch, or a person who is Kosev Os Achas, a person who writes a single letter. Tosefta writes, Eina ella mishum shus. It's only an Isser Derabanan. It's only an Isser Derabanan. It seems clear in the Tosefta that pachos mikashir on Shabbos is only forbidden midrabanan. How is it that Rashi maintains that chatishir is forbidden min haTorah? Apparently, Rashi would have to argue as follows that maybe it depends. Maybe when it comes to some malachos, Chatzi Shir is forbidden in haTorah. When it comes to other malachos, Chatzi Shir is only in Isser Derabanan. I'll give you one interesting teretz. It is a chiddush. This is found in Chelkas Yoav in Yeradei Simentes. He writes the following. When it comes to Chelev, you know why Chatzi Shir is forbidden in haTorah? Because of the following. The Isser Chelev is explicit in the Pasuk. The Torah tells us don't eat Chelev. The Shir, Shirim are Halacha Mosh Mishinai. That's the Mesorah of Torah. So even if it's pachos mikashir and the onesh does not apply, but the pasuk categorically says do not eat chaylev. So that is why chatzisir is forbidden min haTorah. But let's assume, for example, you were to have an isher where not only the shir is based on the Mesor of Torah Shebal Peh, but even the very isher is also based on Torah Shebal Peh. In other words, that the isher and the shir were given simultaneously. In such a case, maybe then it's more difficult to distinguish between the isher and the shir. If the isher is explicit and the shir is Hilchasa, Torah Shebal Peh, in such a case, maybe one could argue that there's an isher irrespective of the shir. But if both Kruchim Yardim and Hashamayim, if both were recited simultaneously, it's harder to make that distinction. That's interesting, Chiddush, that the Chalkas Yoav writes. It's a fascinating distinction. When it comes, generally speaking, to Malacha Shabbos, we don't have a posuk that tells us that this Malacha is forbidden. That's the Sugya Shabbos Mentesim Abayis. We don't need a posuk for that. After all, we have our Sora of Torah Shebal Peh linking Mishkan to Malachi Shabbos. Whatever was found in either Avodas HaKarbanos or Binyan HaMishkan, that serves as a model for Malacha. So therefore, you understand why it's somewhat difficult to argue that there's an Isser and there's a Shir. All of this is our Torah Shebal Peh. But you know what? There's certain Malachos which are in fact written explicitly in Chumash. One example is Hosa. Tosus, in fact, is bothered in Shabbos Beizim and Aleph. Der Maschal Pasha, Tosus writes that why is it that the psukim for Hosa, you don't find psukim when it comes to other malachos, but there are psukim when it comes to Hosa. What about when it comes to Afia? Yerushalmi writes, there's a pasuk for Afia. When it comes to the gathering, the man, the Torah says, Esa Shatov Leifu, Esa Shatovashlu Bashedu, when it comes to Bishul and Afia, there's a pasuk that tells us that Afia is Asher as well. It's interesting. There's a pasuk for Ofe. There's a pasuk for Hotza. Those are the two examples. Rashi and Hagos Ashri of cases where Chatzishir is forbidden in HaTorah. The Tosefta has two other examples. Where Chatzishir is on the Nisra Rabbanan. Kosev, Oreg, those are not found in Sukkim and Chumash. That is pure Torah Shebal Peh. When the Shir and the Isser are both the Torah Shebal Peh in such a case, without the shir, you don't have the iser, and then chatzi shir is only an iser drabanan. That's what the Chalkas Yoav suggests in Yeridayim Siman Tes. I would suggest a different approach to this issue. But how is it that Rashi argues that chatzi shir is forbidden in our Torah? The Tosefta says that that is not the case. Let's talk about chatzi shir for a moment. The person carries pachos mikashir, Hagos Ashvi writes, that's forbidden min haTorah. The opening Mishnah Masech HaShabbos. The person carries. In order to be chayv mishum hotza, you have to do an akira, shin rishus, ahanacha, for that you're chayv. Let's say I do the akira, and I take the object out to the rishus rabbin, but I don't do ahanacha. Someone else does the ahanacha. My akira and shin rishus is only an iser derabanan. So the Meiri in Shabbos Av Gimel raises the following question. Why is that only an iser derabanan? I understand. You didn't yet do the malacha of hotza in its complete form. But why isn't this a chatzi shir? That's the Meiri's question. Why isn't that a chatzi shir? The answer is what the Meiri writes, which seems intuitively quite obvious to us, that there's a difference between a chatzi shir as opposed to a chatzi malacha. Chatzi shir means the act of a malacha was performed in its entirety. The only thing that is lacking is the quantity, the chefza itself. If I will go ahead and do an akir without a hanacha, that's not a chatzi shir. That's considered to be a case of chatzi malacha. Chatzi malacha is not asur min haTorah, only chatzi shir. Intuitively, that distinction makes perfect sense. But you know, sometimes the line is blurred a little bit. Sometimes it's hard to tell what is chatzi shir and what is chatzi malacha. Let's assume, for example, we're not talking about a kiyum of hanacha. Let's assume a person is carrying Rosh Hashanah and he goes 2 amos instead of 4 amos. Is that a chatzi shir or is that a chatzi malacha? A little more subtle. Maybe that already is called a shir, or maybe no. That's part of the definition of the malacha itself. The Chazanish raises a very interesting question. We mentioned the case of bishul or afia. A person goes ahead and fully cooks something, but the object that he cooked was very small. Chatzi shir. That, Rashi writes, is forbidden min haTorah. Let's assume, for example, a person puts water in the oven, and he heats it from room temperature from 70 degrees to 80 degrees. That, the Chazon Ish, is clear from the Gemara. That's not called chatzi shir. The bishul process really has not even begun. The The Chazmish raises the following topic. You take food, you put it in the oven, it reaches Yad Sol, let us go. But in order to be chayav for Shabbos, you require macho ben drasai, a half or a third cooked. So it has been heated up to the temperature of cooking. The cooking process has begun. The object is piping hot, but it is less than macho ben drasai. Chazmish has a suffix. Is that called a chatzi shir, or is that called a chatzi malacha? The bishul process has begun, but it's not quite sufficient. Is that nothing? Or do you argue that, no, that already is a shir? Macho ben drasai is considered to be a shir. See, I'll give you an example. Macho ben drasai is a half or a third of the cooking. How do you make that assessment? The Chazanish writes that it's all done in terms of time. If it'll take me 3 hours to cook this roast, so therefore a third, which is macho ben drasai, right, is 1 hour. Chazanish writes, when does the clock start ticking? He writes as follows. For the first few minutes, the meat did not even reach Yad Sol Erespo. That doesn't count. That's not even bishul at all. The window of time of bishul is from Yad Sol Erespo until it is fully cooked. And that is the time that you divide into a third or half, Rashi and Rambam, to determine what is macho ben drasai. In other words, that until it reaches a certain temperature, the Yad Sol Erespo, that is not even considered to be the tchilas bishul. Like sitting in a cold oven, that's not considered to be your tchilas bishul at all. It's a fascinating issue. When it reaches the bishul process, but it's insufficient bishul, is that called a chatzi shir, or is that called a chatzi melacha? It's a beautiful illustration of sometimes where the line is a little bit blurred in order to determine what is a chatzi shir and what is a chatzi melacha. But the distinction is clear. If a person does part of a melacha, that is not an issur daraisa. If the melacha is complete, but it is pachos mikashir in terms of the quantity of the chefetz, that is when you could argue chatzi shir is asur min haTorah. So I would suggest the following. When it comes to certain melachos, the shir is part of the definition of the melacha. I'll give you an example. One of the melachos of Shabbos is setting up a loom. And how do you set up the loom? You have to make shnei batei nirim. You have to have a ring that will hold the horizontal threads, and then another ring that will hold the vertical threads. If I were to ask you, why is the shir shnei batei nirim? Why is it two rings, one for the horizontal, one for the vertical? You wouldn't tell me, you know, halacha moshe mishinai. It's a good question. In other words, it could have been one ring. It could have been five rings. It so happens, the halacha, right, for some reason determined that it's two. You'll tell me, no, that's part of the definition of the weaving process. Weaving requires that you raise and lower the vertical and horizontal strings. You can't weave without horizontal and vertical strings. So therefore, of course, the shear of setting up the loom is to make a base near a ring for the vertical string and a ring for the horizontal strings. It's personally reasonable why that should be the shear. That is part of the definition of the weaving process. Why is it, for example, that the shear of tofer is shtei tefiros? I'll tell you simply as follows. If you make a single stitch, a single stitch is not even a malachas chibur at all. If you want to go ahead and sew two items together, if you'll just stitch up, right, they are not yet attached. If you will stitch down and make a second stitch, you understand now they are bound, they are joined. By definition, that is an act of tofer. The same thing is shown when it comes to orek, chutachas, but no, you need shnei chutim. When it comes to certain malachos, you understand very well that the shear is part of the definition of the malacha itself. I would suggest as follows, that when it comes to those malachos, where the shear is part of the meaning of the malacha itself, not that, you know, the shear could have been anything, and somehow this is the shear, but based on understanding the nature of the malacha, that is the shear, there I would tell you that shear is part of the definition of the malacha. And there, a chatzi shear is a chatzi malacha. It's like doing an akira without hanacha. If you were to ask me, in which one of the lamatas malachas would you say that that's true, that the shear is part of the definition of malacha? So I would tell you, batinirim, and pocheya, and oreg, tofer, you know, those are the cases where the Mishnah mentions the shear. In the Mishnah, the Mishnah is not interested in presenting shiurim for all the malachos. The vast majority, no shiur is mentioned at all. It mentions the shiur only in those cases where the shear is part of the definition of the malacha itself. In those cases, chatzi shear cannot be forbidden min ha-Torah. That is comparable to in akira without anacha. There's one case I didn't mention as of yet, and that's the malacha of kosev. If my suggestion is correct, you're going to have to answer as follows, that, you know, when a person writes one letter, that is not called writing. Shteyosios is not a shir, but that's part of the definition of the malacha. I understand when it comes to oreg and potsay and shtebatanirin and tofer. When it comes to kosev, our first response is shteyosios is a shir. You write one letter, but that's insufficient in order to be chayiv. It sounds like a chiddush to assume that shteyosios is part of the definition of kosev. But I would suggest as follows. If you learn more about the malacha of kosev, it seems very reasonable that that's true. What was kosev found right in the Mishkan? What's the source of the malacha of kosev? So here you have two possibilities. Rashi writes it's based on the crushing, that they used to label the crushing. Interesting. How do they label the crushing? How do you label the walls of your sukkah? Right, so Rashi writes they used to label by putting an aleph on one keresh, and an aleph on the next keresh, and you line the alephs up, and now you know which is positioned where. And the Rambam in Perek Yud Aleph implies that no, they used to put an aleph on one keresh and a beis on the next keresh, and they used to follow a sequence, put the aleph next to the beis, and that's why it was done. The Beis Yosef finished in Kos Yerushalmi. Why was it so important to label the krushim? Why was that so important? You know, if you don't label the panels of our sukkah, sometimes it just doesn't fit. Why did they have to label each and every one of the krushim? Yerushalmi writes an interesting chiddush, and that is because not every area in the Mishkan had equal kedusha. And because of the principle of Malan V'Kodesh V'Moridim, when you would reassemble, you'd want to make sure that each keresh was in its exact place. And therefore they would label the krushim to see to it that they would disassemble, reassemble. In such a case, the formation maintained, this keresh was in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And now it's going to be in the area of the Azara. Right now it's inappropriate to go ahead and to do so. Beis Yosef writes, interestingly, he quotes Makoros to assume when you have a talis, that the tzitzis that are in front of you, that you always see, urisim also, have a heightened level as opposed to the tzitzis that are behind you. And the Beis Yosef writes, Nochos tzitzis, that was the basis of the minug of having an atara. Because if you have an atara, you're always going to wear the talis in the same way, to make sure that the front is in the front and the back is in the back. When it comes to a talis katan, sometimes it's hard to tell. What's in front can go to the back can go in the front. A new business, an atara and a talis katan. So that's the chiddush that to the Beis Yosef writes, based on the crushing, to see to it that the position is always the same in the purpose of doing a mitzvah. But kosev, Rashi writes, right, is found with the crushing. Another possibility, and this is what Abinezer writes in Kuf Tzari Tesh, is the view of the Gaonim. When they used to make the big day kahuna, they used to write the names of the shvatim, kodesh la'ashem on the tzitz. The basis of kosev was writing the words that you find on big day kahuna. So there are two possibilities for writing, either labeling krushim or else the formation of words. If you look in the Rambam in Pirkei Aleph Hilchos Shabbos, the Rambam strongly implies a pretty incredible chiddush. The Rambam writes the following: if I write two different letters on Shabbos, an aleph and a beis, I'm chayiv. The Rambam writes, if you write two of the same letter, for example, shin and shin, you're chayiv. Magid Mishnah writes, according to the Rambam, if you were to write an aleph and an aleph, that's potter. Shteyosios are either two different letters, aleph and beis, or two of the same letter that form a word. That's what the Rambam writes. Sheish and sheish, right? Shin, shin, sheish, or an aleph and beis. If you write two of the same letter on Shabbos that don't form a word, in such a case that's not called kosev, shteyosios. Abinezer explains very well. You have two possibilities as to its source. One is the krushim labeling, which according to them was two different letters, aleph and beis, or the formation of words. But if you were to write two of the same letter that doesn't form a word, it is neither labeling nor the formation of words. In such a case, it is not called shteyosios. You see, the shteyosios is not just simply two letters. Either shteyosios is labeling, or it's the formation of words, which by definition requires theosios. You're not going to label with a single indicator, with a single simen. You're not going to form a word in Lashon HaKodesh with a single letter. There are no words that have a single letter in that sense. Of course, two words are necessary. The Gemara states a very great Kiddush. If I write one letter on one piece of paper, and one letter on another piece of paper, that's called Shteyosios. You know why? Because you can take the two pieces of paper, and you can put them together like the Krashim. But let's assume I write an Aleph on this wall, and I go out the door and write a Beis on the other side of the wall. The Gemara says, you're not Chayiv, because it's Mechusar Kreva. There's no way that you can put that Aleph next to that Beis. Well, why is that so important? Because the source of Shteyosios is the proximity of those two letters, because for labeling or for the formation of words, you have to be able in principle to align the two letters. And if you can't, that's not called Shteyosios. From all of these cases, you see very well that the Malacha is not just simply any two letters. The Malacha is either labeling based on crushing, formation of words, based on Big Day Kahuna, and then you understand very well why the shear is Shteyosios. If a person were to go ahead and write a single letter, I would suggest that is comparable to an Akira without a Hanacha. That's not just simply Osachas. 1 + 1 = 2, but no. Right? The unit of Shteyosios, for that, you're considered to be Chayiv on Shabbos. And therefore, one letter is like a single thread. It's like one base near that is called a Chatzi Malacha. It is not called a Chatzi Shir. See, if this is the case, you understand very well. Rashi, who commented that Chatzi Shir is forbidden when it comes to Malacha Shabbos, is referring to Afia. That's true. And what was our question when it comes to Tosefta? The Tosefta says, but if you sew a single stitch, or you write a single letter, that's only an Isid Rabbanan. The Tosefta's two examples are two of the five Malachos where the Mishnah mentions the Shir. That's the exception, Rashi understood, that proves the rule that Chatzi Shir is Asa Min HaTorah. If the Mishnah wanted to tell you that Tosefta, the Chatzi Shir is only Nisud Rabbanan, don't pick on those cases. Mention Afia, mention Borer, mention other cases. You're going to specifically mention Oreg and Kosef, of course. Oreg with a single chut is not called Maisa Oreg. Writing a single letter is not called labeling or formation of words. In such a case, that is Rashi Shita. In the other cases, it's true. And Chatzi Shir is considered to be forbidden min HaTorah. Not true when it comes to the other cases of a Chatzi Malacha. What about when it comes to a case of Hotzah? And here, as I mentioned, it's fascinating that Hotzah has many, many different shiurim. In other words, the broad principle, broadest strokes, is simply that you carry something of worth, of value, of utility. But if I were to ask you, so what is a utilitarian shiur? What is a practical shiur? No answer, you know, it depends. It depends what object you're carrying. There can be a million different shiurim for the Malacha of Hotzah, depending on the use of that particular chayfetz. So I'll ask you the following. Gemara is an Erevin and Afdal. The shiurim are halacha Moshe Mishina. Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Hasinai with the shiur of Kazayis, Kagroges, Koseves, Kabeitza. What about the shiurei Hotzah? Moshe Rabbeinu came down with a list of millions of objects. And you'll look and you'll see what the shiur of each one is. So the Mabit in Kiryas Sefer, right, in the Rambam and Parakhesa Fokha Shabbos, writes the following. No, when it comes to Hotzah, you know what the shiur is? A shiur hamoel. Hotzah is a utilitarian shiur. It's a shiur that functions. It functions. You know why the shiur of Tevin is Malopi Hapara? Because that's what Tevin is used for. And therefore, anything that will not be used, it's so small, you won't feed the animal with it in such a case. You're not going to be chayiv. It's not that Moshe Rabbeinu came with the halacha Moshe Mishinai, that is the shiur of Tevin. No. But very simply, that is a pragmatic shiur. The shiur is a function of its normal use. Fakos mita shiur means that it has no use, it has no utility, no function. That's what's unusual when it comes to Hotzah. That's why regarding Hotzah, you can have so many different shiurim, because it all depends on the utility, the use of the chayfetz itself. Here also one could suggest the following. When it comes to Hotzah, if it's Pachos Mikashir, what does that mean? I am carrying an amount that is useless. It has no utility. Perhaps there as well, that is not forbidden in HaTorah. After all, if the shir is a function of shir hamoil, that which can be utilized, and pachos mikashir means that it has no function, has no purpose, perhaps there as well, that's comparable to a chatzi melacha, as opposed to a case of a chatzi shir. Maybe there's an exception. What is the shir, for example, of ochel, of machal adam? After that Mishnah stand up by involve, there the shir is a kagrogress. Kagrogress is not only true when it comes to Shabbos. Kagrogress is the shir of ochel generally. Whenever you're dealing with the shir of achila, achilas kazayis, but whenever you want to know the shir of chetz, the inherent qualities of ochel, the shir is a kagrogress. For example, if a person is boder on Shabbos, the shir of ochel is kagrogress. The shir of Zora is kagrogress. The shir of Marakeid is kagrogress. The shir of Hotzah is kagrogress. When it comes to kagrogress, that shir of Hotzah parallels the hilchus, the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai of shiurim generally. So maybe one could suggest the fascinating chiddush. When it comes to the mach of Hotzah, you have different models. If the shir of Hotzah is based on the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai generally, then you can argue that chatzi shir is also min haTorah. If you'll argue that this shir of Hotzah is based on function, utility, and pachos mikashir means it's so insignificant it has no use, then that is a chatzi melacha, not a chatzi shir, and that would only be in Iser Derabbanan. I'm discussing this possibility of Asher Weiss. His hadara was as follows, that if you have a shir which is a halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, then chatzi shir is asur min haTorah. When you have shirim that are not halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai, like the whole list of shiri Hotzah, then you don't assume that chatzi shir is asur min haTorah. So you look at the Mishnah Daf Ayin Vav, the Mishnah gives you a whole list of shirim for Hotzah, and one of them, one of the six, is the shir of Ochel is a kagrogress. That's not only true when it comes to Hotzah. That's the shir of Ochel b'chol haTorah kula. That's the halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai of the Gemara Erev and Daf Yadavit. So maybe one could suggest a pretty fascinating chiddush. Pachos mikagrogress of Hotzah is chatzi shir asur min haTorah. But when it comes to the pragmatic shiurim, pachos mikashur only be an iser drabanan. Remember our question earlier. The Mishnah lists all the shiurim, and Hagos Ashri writes, right, in Zayin Yir Aleph, that if you carry, Hagos Ashi didn't say if you carry pachos mikashir, it's forbidden min haTorah. Hagos Ashi says if you carry ochel, pachos, mikagrogress, that's asur min haTorah. Why pick on that one case? This is part of a whole list of the shiri Hotzah. Perhaps that's the chiddush of Hagos Ashi, that in that one case, chatzi shir is asur min haTorah, because that shir of kagrogress, that's a halacha Moshe Mi-Sinai. When it comes to all other cases, that's not necessarily true. Right, it's a fascinating possibility that even within a given malacha, one could envision why in fact that is the case. We had mentioned when it comes to carrying dar amos b'shus harabim, carrying two amos is clear in the Gemara, Shabbos Kuf Nun Tes, that that is not forbidden in HaTorah. Why is two amos not a chatzi shir of four amos? There also you'd have to argue, no, that's because two amos, that's like a chatzi melacha. That's not considered to be a chatzi shir. Why is that? Shouldn't I argue that dar amos is a quantity, and therefore, like kazayis, and anything less than that is considered to be chatzi shir? So there's a very fascinating comment that the Ran and the Balamor have in that Mishnah, Daf Ayin Gimel. The Mishnah tells us that one of the lametes melachos, the last list in the Mishnah, is hamotzi mishus lishus, carrying from one rishus to another. Rishus to yachid, to rabim, rabim to yachid, hotzah, hachnasa. The Ran and the Balamor are bothered, and what about mavre dar amos b'shus harabim? Isn't that also forbidden in HaTorah? Why does the Mishnah only tell us motzi mishus lishus? Why doesn't the Mishnah add what we call havara, mavre dar amos b'shus harabim? But Rav Balmor writes something, it almost sounds like a little drush. But the Rav Balmor writes the following, that no. You know, there's a concept of Dalet Adam Amos Shal Adam Makomo, that a person, right, occupies the immediate area around him of Dalet Amos. For example, there's a concept of a Kinyan Dalet Amos. When something is in such close proximity to where I'm standing, in such a case, that already is considered to be Knuyali. That is already considered to be mine. Dalet Amos Shalom is considered to be Rishusa. That's what the Ran and the Balamor argue. And therefore, when you take a Chafetz, which is here, and you transport it outside of the Dalet Amos, in effect, you know what you're doing? Motzi Mirshus, the Rishus. And therefore, the Balamor and the Ran write, that's why the Mishnah can use the term Motzi Mirshus, the Rishus, and it even includes Dalet Amos Rishus HaRabim. It's as though that will divide the Rishus HaRabim into units of, that's four Amos, and therefore, beyond four Amos is considered to be an act of Hotzah, being Motzim Rishus to Rishus. The Ran and the Balamor write this, that this is why the Mishnah refers to even Mavad Amos under the broader heading of Motzim Rishus to Rishus. See, if you'll tell me that Dalet Amos, to some extent, is just a Hilchasa, the Kshir could have been two Amos, six Amos, ten Amos, 12 Amos, the Halacha dictates that it's four Amos. But if you're telling me that no, the reason it's down Amos, very reasonably, is because the Malacha is being Motzi Mishus, the Rishus. And down Amos, so Adam is considered to be Mikomo. You understand very well why the Shir is considered to be one of down Amos. In which case, if you will go ahead and take something and transport it, Rishus HaRabim, to Amos, the object is in the same Rishus and Makom now as it was then, that cannot be a case of Chatzi Shir, that's comparable to a chatzi malacha, a case where the malacha is absolutely incomplete. It's not really a chisaron shir, but rather the object is still ba'osno ha-reshus, that is not called motzi mirshus reshus. And you understand very well why tu amos is going to be, right, a chatzi malacha. It is not going to be a case of chatzi shir. If you want to formulate it somewhat differently, you could argue as follows, that, you know, there are two different types of Halacha Moshe Nisina. Mavra Dalet Amos is not written explicitly in the Chumash. Hotzah is referred to, but Mavra Dalet Amos is a Halacha Moshe Nisina. Reb Chaim points out in Perek Yudet Hilchos Machalos Asuros that there are two different types of Halacha Moshe Nisina. Halacha Moshe Nisina, which is Mifareshes, and Halacha Moshe Nisina Mikadeshes. Sometimes you have Halacha Moshe Nisina that teaches you a new concept, a new Halacha, that is not found in Torah Shidduchah. Hilchasa, Halacha Moshe Nisinai. And sometimes you can find Halacha Moshe Nisinai, which is simply expanding that which is Mefurish Bekra. If I didn't have Halacha Moshe Nisinai, if I only looked at the Pasuk, I would have limited the Halacha to this circumstance. The Halacha Moshe Nisinai extends that which exists, that which is Mefurish Bekra. You know, Tashim HaFokus, the Rambam, and the Gaon in Perek Yud, of Hilchos Machalos Asuros, Arla. It would appear from the Chumash that Arla applies in Eretz Yisrael, and not in the Chutz La'aretz. Ki Savo Ha'aretz. The Gemara writes in Kedushin Afalamaches, Halacha Moshe Mishinai, Arla applies in the Chutz La'aretz. The Rambam raises the following issue. What about Revai? Does Revai apply in the Chutz La'aretz, or does it not? The Rambam writes, only Arla, and not Revai. And the Rambam quotes Begonim with the Sugimi and say, no, that's not true. If Arla, then yes, Revai. When you have your Halacha Moshe Mishnah that Arla applies, meaning you don't distinguish between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz. So now, whatever would apply to the Peros and Eretz Yisrael applies to the Peros and the Chutz La'aretz, and therefore, there is not only Arla, there is Revai as well. Rav Chaim explains the Machlokas as follows. The Halacha Moshe Mishnah that Arla Chutz La'aretz is forbidden min HaTorah. Is that an extension of Arla and Eretz Yisrael? This is Halacha Mifareshes? Or do you argue, no, this is Halacha HaMechadeshes? It's telling you a new category, a new concept, and you have no right to assume that the Halachos of Arla in Eretz Yisrael will extend to Arla in Chutz La'aretz. The Rambam maintains that Arla in Chutz La'aretz is Mechadeshes, and therefore Arla, yes. Revai, no, it is not modeled after Eretz Yisrael. The Gona maintain, no, that's not true. That the Halacha Moshe Mishneh tells us that even though the Pasuk says, Ki Shavo al Ha'aretz, the Pasuk does not mean where. The Pasuk means when. When you enter Eretz Yisrael, then the Dini Orla begin, but it applies universally. If I didn't have this halacha Moshe Nisina, I would have said Kisa Valaretz means like other mitzvot Tzliyos Valaretz, that it only applies in Eretz Yisrael itself. And once there is that concept of Orla and Chutz Laaretz by extension of the Kedushas Orla in Eretz Yisrael, then it tells us that Ravai applies as well. The Rambam writes the following. In order to get Malkus, you have to violate the prohibition in HaTorah, but more than that, the Torah has to use the terms of either Lo, Hishomer, Pen, Al. If the Torah tells us not to do something, but it doesn't use those terms, in such a case there's no Malkus Daraisa. So therefore the Rambam writes, for Orla, in Chutz Laaretz, there's no Malkus. How can there be Malkus? Lo, Hishomer, Pen, and Al. It's Halacha Moshe Mishinai. There's no Malkus at all. There's no Malkus and Halacha Moshe Mishinai as Halacha HaMechadeshes. I'll give you an example where the Rambam writes the opposite. The Gemara writes that if a Kohen lacks a Bris Mila, a Kohen Orel, he cannot do Avoda. There's no Posuk that says that that's true, that a Kohen Orel is Posuk Avoda. The Gemara writes in the second paragraph of Sanhedrin that that's Halacha Moshe Mishinai. Rashi writes in Sanhedrin later that Peivav, no Malkus. If a Kohen Or will do Avodah, there's no Malkus, because it's Halacha Moshe Mishinai. You know who disagrees? The Rambam. The Rambam writes in Perek Vav, of Chasbiyas HaMikdash, a Kohen Orel Sha'avad is Loke. He gets Malkus. Even though it's Halacha Moshe Mishinai, he gets Malkus. You know why he gets Malkus? Because according to the Rambam, that's not a new Halacha Mechadeshes. That's Halacha HaMifareshes. That's an extension of that which is Mufurish Bekra. Where do you see that this is true? So you know who addresses this? The Rambam. When you look in that Rambam, Perek Vav Bias HaMikdash, the Rambam writes that a Kohen Orel Sha'avad gets Malkus. The Rambam tells you the reason. Because Hareyo Kizar Sha'avad. It's like someone who lacks the Kedushas Kohen, who does Avoda. In order to be a Kohen Avoda, you have to have the Yichus of a Kohen, but you also have to have a Bris Mila as well. Without a Bris Mila, you don't have a Kedushas Kohen Avoda. What is the Rambam telling you, this whole philosophy? The answer is the following, in a word, that the Malkus is B'Torah Zar. Hariyo Kizar Sha'avat. In other words, this is not a new Halacha Moshe Mishinai. Halacha Moshe Mishinai is simply just defining Kohen as opposed to a Zar. And Orel is part of the requirement of a Kedushas Kohen Avoda. So therefore you can get Malkus. That's called Halacha HaMifareshes. Halacha Moshe Mishinai adds a requirement to the existing category, which is Mefurish B'Kra, that a Zar cannot do Avoda. In a word, this Chiddush of the Ran and the Baal HaMor is that Maver Daramas B'Shus HaRabim is Halacha Moshe Mishinai, but it's Halacha HaMifareshes. This is not a new Halacha Moshe Mishinai, but rather it defines Rishus. Without this Halacha Moshe Mishinai, I would have defined Rishus as being Rishus HaYachid versus Rishus HaRabim. Halacha Moshe Mishinai says that no, there's a concept of Dal Amos, which is Rishus L'Shel Adam. And therefore, Dal Amos within Rishus HaRabim and beyond, that's considered to be a different Rishus. And therefore, it's Halacha Moshe Mishinai that Maver Dal Amos is considered to be part of the Malacha of Motzi Rishus L'Shus. And on Yantif, if a person would carry absolute Shel Tzorech, there will be Malkus Daraisa, because this is Halacha Moshe Mishinai, which is Mefareshes, which is not Mechadeshes. With that in mind, you understand very well, if that's the nature of Dal Amos. So if a person carries less than Dal Amos, Mechepetz did not believe its original Rishus, how can that be a case of Chatzishia, which is Asher Min HaTorah? There, the Malacha was not done with a Chisaron Shir, but rather, that is at best, a Chatzi Malacha. And that's why the Gemara writes that Beis Amos certainly is not forbidden min HaTorah, even if one should assume as Rashi, that Chatzi Shir is forbidden. That's a fascinating concept of different Shiurim that you find B'chol HaTorah Kula. Sometimes Shiurim are more pragmatic, sometimes Shiurim are Halacha Moshe Mishinai, and perhaps with this distinction, Halacha Moshe Mishinai, then Chatzi Shir Asa min HaTorah. When you have a utilitarian Shir, and Pachos Mikashir means that there is no function, there is no utility, then in those cases, then Pachos Mikashir can never be forbidden in HaTorah.
Hello, Mr. Dalai.